Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see of the mystery. Taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings every night, my love I bring to you.
Bye.
All right. Welcome back. My name is Yom Sufarith, and you've tuned into the Real Talk for Real People Study Show, a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, to get you to understand that it's about relationships, brothers and sisters. The most important relationship that you would ever have in your life, and the most pivotal one that you will ever have in your life, that has a direct impact upon every relationship you have in your life. Oh, it's true. So that's why these studies are essential. It is essential that you get these studies. It's paramount that you get these studies. Because Yom Sufarith and Cartrell, we won't be with you forever. We're sort of on the first quarter of the game. If you got four quarters, Cartrell and I like to say we're in the fourth quarter by game and life. And so, because of that, we are duty-bound to do no less to bring these studies to you. And we pray that the Most High lead you in the right direction and that you take full advantage of these studies, because they're for your best advantage. Because as I said, the Most High relationship is the most important relationship you will ever have in your life. And everything else is predicated upon that very relationship. And sometimes you may get the impression that Yom Suf is perhaps a little rough around the edges and perhaps a little agitated. But that is far from the case. I am anxious for my people. And I'm sort of like Joshua, so to speak, in some regards. Not because of a lack of love and a concern or consideration for our people, because of a lack of, we just don't get itness, and we can get it. So I'm very concerned, and sometimes you may get the impression falsely, Yom Suf, he ain't sugarcoating it. Well, I don't sugarcoat anything for that matter. And I tell it like it is. I don't often talk in specifications when it comes to us, but I do talk in generalized conversation when it comes to us. And I'm very particular in that generalized conversation. And also, that generalized conversation applies to me also. Yom Suf Arif is not the best thing since sliced bread. So when I make generalized conversation, believe you me, it applies to me also. When I say we're dirty, that includes Yom Suf Arif also. When Yom Suf said you need to do this, that includes Yom Suf Arif also. So don't take it the wrong way. Yom Suf hurt my feelings. I hurt a lot of feelings. I even hurt my own feelings sometimes. But nevertheless, that doesn't necessitate the fact that Yom Suf don't care about Yom Suf Arif. And it certainly doesn't necessitate the fact that Yom Suf doesn't care about you. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't be on this show Monday through Friday. And I certainly wouldn't be spending my time and my interest just telling you something that, hey, I don't think they'll get it, because I believe sooner or later you'll get it. Sooner or later it'll dawn upon you. Yom Suf is not rough around the edges. Simply because Yom Suf simply don't sugarcoat things. Because as some said, we're grown people. I try to treat grown people like grown people. And so don't get it twisted. Okay? So I have one contemporary coming. Chuck Grassley, the Senate candidate in Iowa, has taken the endorsement of Donald J. Trump of New York City. Now, once upon a time, Chuck Grassley says, oh, he wrong, he did wrong, he irresponsible, what he said, what he did just wasn't right. He caused all these problems. Now he's taking endorsements. All endorsements are not good endorsements. Yom Suf Arif wouldn't take an endorsement from anyone, for that matter, other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. That's where I get my endorsement from. I don't need the endorsement of human beings. So I get my endorsement from Yah. And I hope you have the same attitude that Yom Suf has. Don't be looking for no endorsement from Yom Suf. I can't endorse you. But if you're doing the work of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, I suspect you're getting an endorsement from him. So as I said, contemporarily speaking, all endorsements are not good endorsements. He's standing right up next to Trump, grinning like, I'm just going to leave that alone, but I will say this. In regards to these people, they don't try to hide it. And a Native American said it once upon a time, and I would concur with him. white man speak with forked tongue. I don't pull no punches. Okay? That's on our enemies, and that's in regards to us. Because surely, the evidence doesn't lie. We need help, and we need it now. And that's why it's urgently needed what we provide on the Real Talk for Real People study show, excuse me. And so please take these as a matter. Yum Soup has a different approach to things when he approaches things, but they don't love you any less. I'd be the first one to come to your aid. But I'm serious about these studies. And I'm serious about us as a nation that we learn these studies and apply these studies to our lives. Okay? But I want to share something, a public announcement, service announcement too. We'll be concluding the book of Nehemiah, Most High willing, this Thursday coming, which is, by the way, my birthday. We only have one birthday. We have birthdays after that. We have one birthday, and we have concluding lack of birthdays, because you're going to come to a day in finality where it won't be no birthdays. So, but it was my first birthday was on the 14th, 1956. My first birthday, that's what I like to call it, because that's what it was. And I've continually breathed thanks to the Most High. And every 14th is a continuation process. Well, a lack of, when you're young, you start off with a lot of breath. You get old as I am. It's sort of not so breathable. You know, you don't have that freshness when you're a newborn babe. You know, even funny thing about newborn babes. And newborn babes are very impressionable. You know, they don't have where they want to come here, and I don't blame them. And when they get here, they're screaming like, man, what y'all done got me into? I could have stayed inside mommy. What the hell am I into? Like, babies got a whole lot of sense in that, don't they? First birthday. So, we will be starting on the Most High willing Friday on Queen Esther and her uncle Mordecai. And you're going to find out about relationships in that chapter. You're going to find out how to interact if you're a wife. You're going to find out how not to interact if you're a wife. And everything is connected to one another. And why a king would lead in a proper fashion. And he had to set an example for his nation in regards to wives. It's simply any simple man. You'll find out how a man, an uncle of the woman would be king, Mordecai, how he handled the situation. He didn't get physical. He didn't get violent. He simply cried to Yah to help solve his problems. He didn't protest. He didn't march around the Capitol. He didn't join the gay rights movement. He didn't join the Black Lives Matter movement at that time. He didn't join the voting bloc in that nation. He didn't join anything but join forces with the Most High. You will find out in relationship how we looked out for one another's best interests. Mordecai simply wasn't doing this for self-adulation and to be the head nigger in charge. He was doing this because he loved his nation and he had his nation's best interests at heart. And Queen Esther, you will find a lovely sister that really didn't want to be in this predicament, but she found herself in, and she was chosen by the king of that country to become queen. And she risked it all for her people. Are you like Queen Esther? Would you be willing to risk it all, even your very life, for your nation? See, that's the kind of people that we should become. Just like our founding fathers and founding mothers, as in Queen Esther and Mordecai, her uncle. Yes, you will find out a whole lot about relationships, the do's and the don'ts, and what we should be like or shouldn't be like in some regard. So without further ado, let me bring my friend and brother on from New York City. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Shalom.
Bless Yah, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yam Sufari, may the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May bless you also. And praise the Most High name. I concur with you.
No doubt. But you way ahead of the story, man. I got to give you
I want them to get interested. I want to set them up so they'd be anxious to get there with us. That's all.
But we got to finish it with Ezra and Nehemiah. And
okay.
We can't skip them. Right. They had important things that they were doing that we need to pay attention to as well.
Exactly.
And, in regards to Grassley.
Yeah, Chuck Grassley.
Chuck Grassley. How old is that man?
80 plus years old.
Yeah, I think he's older than that. But anyway.
I think 88, something like that.
Yeah. He's approaching that dementia stage.
Exactly.
But the family is blessed that you're more like Joshua than like Joab. Because if we had Joab on the Real Talk for Real Talk, people show.
Right. Right.
Trust me. You won't hear from Joab.
I got to say, you rather y'all to be more like Joshua than Joab. Joab taking them spears out.
Yeah.
You right about that, bro.
You thought Joshua wasn't playing.
Uh-huh.
Joab was like 10 times Joshua.
The army commander of King Dawid.
Yes, mm-hmm. He was not fooling around with nobody.
No, he didn't play. He didn't
not
play.
Even with the king.
He didn't play. Well, I'm just saying that he didn't play, okay?
Yeah. So we blessed that more in the mold of our brother Joshua.
Right.
Because Joab was a doozy.
You better believe it. You better believe it. Thank you, country. Okay, go ahead. Continue on. I was just saying thank you for the compliment that if you like Joshua so much, so be it, then versus Joab, and I'm thankful for you seeing that, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Go
Joshua
ahead, country.
Joshua is my favorite hero of the nation of Israel, Joshua.
Exactly.
So when you talk about Joshua, that's my man.
We love him.
And we got those same powers within us, but we have to learn how to tap into it like our ancient fathers did.
Yeah.
Not make the mistakes that they made.
But Cartier, but you're right. We have to share the love. We have to let them know. We have to instruct them that we love them, and it's all about them. It's not about anything personal and so on and so forth. And that's why I try to clarify to the students that it's nothing personal. And sometimes that's why I come up lacking sometimes, and sometimes people misinterpret because they don't see my action in play. They don't see what you see, Cartrell. They don't see what the elders see. They don't see what people that interact with me on a daily basis see. So because they don't see that, they don't know you like that. They only hear the lion roar, but they don't see the gentleness, the humility of spirit, you know. So, and I'm glad you pointed that out. So we got to show a lot of love and dealing. When you're roaring, sometimes you gotta be a lamb, and be a lamb is twice as much as you're roaring.
And our people need to hear their transgressions, their sins, and they're not really hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to hear it in a loud voice, because
exactly. If
we don't stop the madness, we'll continue in the madness, and we'll destroy ourselves.
Exactly. But we have to show the love, Cartrell. We have to show the love. Right.
That's why we do what we do. It's called tough love.
Right.
And tough love is important.
Exactly.
In addition to the hugs and the kisses, but you need some tough love.
Exactly. We all do, Katrina. We all do.
That's what the Most High is showing us, that's for sure.
You better believe it. You better believe it. All right. Well, if Katrina has done fellow students with his commentary, and I'm not going to step over him, but if he's not done, we're going to stay back, stay out the way, stay low, listen. But if he's done, we're going to get ready and get started in our studies. Cartrell, are you done, my brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Cartrell.
No doubt.
Fellow students, will you turn with Cartrell and I to Nehemiah chapter 10? Nehemiah chapter 10. I'll give you a few seconds to get there. And may the Most High bless you while you're looking. And may he continue to direct and order your steps, so you can stop leaning to your own understanding and learn these valuable historical lessons, so you can have it, so you can solve your problems. Because there's no other way that you're going to solve your problem unless you learn these valuable lessons and apply. Because what does the Psalm say? The Psalm said, the Most High footsteps are our pathways. And that's by virtue of these studies and the application of these studies in your life. Nothing else is true. All right, I expect you got there. Let's begin. In the view of all this, we make this pledge and put it in writing and they made a pledge and sealed the copy. Our officials, our Levites, and our priests, they sealed the copy, on the sealed copy. Nehemiah, who is studying now, the Tershatta, son of Hachiliah. You know, the funny thing about that, if you check these brothers and sisters out, we didn't have last names.
Huh?
We would say Nehemiah, the Tarshisha, son of Hachiliah, and Zedekiah, Sariah, Azariah, Jeremiah, Pusha, Amariah, Mashijah, Hutush, Shembaniah, Molush, Haram, Meremoth, Obadiah, Daniel, Ginnaton, Barush, Mosalem, Abijah, Majamin, Maziah, Bekla, Shemaiah. These were the priests and the Levites. Yeshua, some would call you, call that name right there, in interpretation, would call that Jesus, son of Azaniah. Yeah, go ahead, Katria.
You also came across another name, Abijah.
Abijah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Abijah, who is on the show. She is the gatekeeper of the show, Abijah. We call Abijah.
What is
Abijah. Yeah. Yeah.
Abijah.
Yeah, Abijah. Right. So, and she's the female version of Abijah. As a matter of fact, she's the gatekeeper on the show. When Cartrell and I get sidetracked and we get off, because y'all remember the last time I was studying, I was supposed to be on chapter 8. I was on chapter 9. Abijah sent me a message while we were studying. What about chapter 8? And I think Cartrell alluded to that fact all at the same time, because he and her sort of coincide. They synchronize somewhat. So Cartrell was saying the same thing that she was saying, at the very same thing. Well, the Most High has us synchronized. Let's just say that. And so we keep each other on track. Right. So never is a good thing. It's good to have people in your corner that works with you for the Most High. That's a beautiful thing. And you're going to find this out. But I'm not going to say no more. Cartrell is going to be telling y'all. I'm telling y'all some things before we get to the book. But I like synchronization, working together for the Most High. But I ain't going to say no more about that book. But y'all going to find out a lot of that going on too, okay?
You came across some prophets that you just named. Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah.
Yep.
Obadiah.
Right.
Daniel.
Yeah. We studied them. We studied them. Jeremiah, Obadiah, Daniel. Now, I don't know if it's the same Daniel. I don't know if it's the same Daniel.
Yeah,
that Daniel. Because everything, as Cartrell pointed the fact out to me, because I called him over the weekend. I said, Cartrell, what are we here to, what do you think? Give me some, what do you think we need to head next to? Cartrell said, you know, you need to go to Queen Esther, because the dynamics of that historical story is going on right about the dynamic time frame of what's going on now. So it's made a lot of sense to me. So yeah, so the time frame was going on with Queen Esther and her uncle, Mordecai. People think when they study the Most High Word, everything is linear. Everything is going on a linear line. But it's several different stories going on within the same time frame. So the Most High is not working in just a linear fashion, one story after the other. The Most High is working universally speaking with different dynamics in different relationships, all going on at the same time. That's wonderful. You see how synchronization can get you? Especially if you're synchronized with Yah. Okay?
And that's important to know, because the story of Queen Esther,
mm-hmm,
the story of the Israelites that didn't go back with Ezra.
Bingo, Cartrell, you win the golden bear. You win the golden bear. That's why study is very, man, Cartrell know it. Abby, y'all know it. And some of you students out there know it. That's why the study is essential to your development and growth. Your spiritual development physically, mentally, spiritually, and mentally. These It's the most important thing. We would always say Yah, their relationship, everything else is predicated upon it. Okay? All right. Binui, the sons, no last name, the sons of Henada and Kamiya, their brothers, Shebaniah, Hodiah, Kelita, Melatha, Hannah, Michael, Rehob, Hashabiah, Sukur, Zeribiah, Sambaniah, Hodiah, Manu, Benenu, the heads of the people, the princes of the people, Perush, Pahat Moab, Elam, Zotu, Bani, Boni, Asgad, Bibba, Hadonijah, Begba, Adin, Ather. You know, Adin is just like your sister name, Katya, that passed us recently. You know, her name was Adina. And I think Adin is the male version of Adina. What do you think about that, Katya? Okay, all right.
Also, you see Bonnie, Ben, Ninu.
Right.
They sound like African names, African tribes that we talk about.
They certainly do, Katrill. And see, if you listen to the dialect when I'm calling these out, they seem similar nations to some of those nations that are still over there. And the main portion of the so-called land they call Africa, which was not the real name of it. That name was named after Africanus, a Roman general that conquered the so-called land that they call Africa. And this man's name was Africa. Africatus, something like that. But you know, they have a propensity to think since they take over, like ain't nobody living there, and they think they just name it anything. Just like over here in these United States of America. You know, it wouldn't name that. I'm pretty sure all those different type nations that were here had different names for it. But you know, that's how they think. We take over, we take charge, we name it. So it's America now. That's how they do it. And they ain't really stopped yet, truth be told.
That was Leo Africanus and Americus Vespucius. So we call ourselves African-American, two white men, slaves.
Right.
African-American.
Right.
Leo Africanus and Americus Vespucius.
Vespucius. Okay. So you're naming yourself after two names, and because you don't know your own name, so you just follow whatever name they tell you it is. So that's unfortunate. So when you say you're an American, you say you're two white men, and you're not either one of them. So, but if you don't know, that goes without saying that you will call yourself whatever they tell you. If they say you're a monkey's uncle, you'll be saying that next week. I'm a monkey's uncle. And some of us surely act like that, but I'm not going to go into that. I'm just talking a generalized conversation, no specifications, okay? Let's continue
on. They do say we evolved from apes, which is not true.
Now, we're what, my brother?
They do say we evolved from apes, according to Darwin's theory of evolution.
Contrail, now you know I can get real harsh in my opinion of that. You know, because when I said it, you wondered about it. You said, Yum Soup, come on now. Okay. Well, let me be compelled to say it again. Since Katri, I brought it up, I didn't bring it up. So for clarification reason, they said we look like apes. But apes are not their hair color. That's just their hair color. You shave an ape. An ape looks pink in color. He steals folks' stuff that don't belong to him. That's an ape. Who is that reflective of? It does not reflect us. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay? Thank you very much. Now, I didn't bring that conversation up, Katria. You did, but I had to clarify. Since they want to say we look like apes, we got tails, lying to themselves. They were telling them folks over there in World War II, where they didn't want them folks to so we over there fighting to help them folks. They lying around there, these so-called American white men, soldiers, were over there telling them folks in England and France, don't fool with them. They ain't nothing but apes. They ain't nothing but monkeys. They hide their tails. Be very, very careful. I mean, come on now. Who y'all gonna believe when y'all study? Folks that tell lies on y'all that y'all apes and y'all hide your tails, or Cartrell and I, who love you. And we can't tell that lie because that ain't the truth. Never tell a lie like that. That's all I'm saying. So when y'all study, contrary to Yom Suf, ain't gonna tell no lie on our enemies. Whatever we say about our enemies, it's the truth. We ain't gonna make up nothing on them. So if they said we apes, I done told you what an ape looked like. He don't look like his hair color. He looks like his skin color. Okay? That's all I'm gonna say about that. And let's continue on. Thank you, Cartrell. You all be excited yourself, Cartrell. The princes of the people. Parus, Pahat, Moab, Elam, Sutu, Bani, Bonina, Asgad, Biba, Odonijah, Bigba, Adin, Ether, Hezekiah, we studied about him, Azur, Hodiah, Hashem, Bezak, Harith, Anathoth, Neba, Makfish, Mezolem, Hiza, Meshizabe, Zorak, Zodu, Melata, Hanna, Anaziah, Hosiah, Hananiah, Hoshush, Holohish, Paha, Shobik, Rehum, Hashaban, Maziah, Hahaya, Hanna, Anna, Malut, Haram, Benna, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, temple servants, and all who separated themselves. You got to separate yourself. Separation is a good thing. They may say Yom Suf is a radical. Yom Suf is not a radical. Most High is a radical. Yeah, I'm just following what the Most High is in, suggesting, inferring, and implying. Suggesting, inferring, and implying. That is what is said here. What does it say? Let's go back then. All who separated themselves from the people of the land in order to do what? That's the only way you could do this, to follow the teachings of Yah. Their wives and sons and daughters. Go ahead, Cartrell.
We spoke about Darwin's theory, how they think that we evolved from apes, but the Most High, the creator of heavens and the earth, said each seed, what, after its own kind.
Exactly.
So gorillas produce gorillas, chimpanzees produce chimpanzees, and human beings produce human beings.
Exactly.
However, there are many species of cat, there are many species of fish, there are many species of bird.
Exactly.
And all those species of bird, fish, and cat, and the animals that the Most High created, guess who they mingle with?
That kind.
I like that
bird analogy too. I like that bird analogy. You know, while you were talking about the bird analogy, I thought about when I go outside, I see different types of birds. But they flying all around one another and whatnot. But they're only flying, interacting with their certain group of birds. I like that analogy.
Yes, a pigeon's not going to interact to mate with a sparrow. Sparrow ain't mingling with a crow. Crow is not mingling with a jaybird, right?
Right.
Jaybirds go with jaybird.
Exactly.
Crows go with crows.
What's wrong with that?
Go with eagle.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, lions don't go with tigers unless human beings interfere.
What's wrong with that?
Tiger looking for another tiger.
You better believe it.
So people, we have choice. So you can marry any other nation on the planet that you want.
Exactly.
So Yah makes specific specifications for the nation of Israel. We can't marry anybody and everybody.
Yep. You got to marry your kind.
Yep.
You got to marry your kind. And that's just that on that. And you can't get away from it.
And that's white, universal, racist supremacy. That's what they say. We must marry our own kind. We don't want our women marrying Negroes.
I ain't mad at them. Just don't be eyeballing my kind. I ain't mad at
them. We'll stick with that.
Yeah, I ain't mad at you. I mean, you ain't being radical. You just being you. And I'm just being me. And it don't make you less than being you for me to be less than being me. I ain't mad at you. Okay? The rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the people of the lands in order to do what? And that's the only way you can do this wholeheartedly. The teachings of Yah, their wives, their sons, their daughters, all you know enough, all who know enough to understand the dynamics of this relationship with Yah. Join with their noble brothers, the brothers that had something going on, and take an oath with sanctions to follow the teachings of Yah, given to Moses, the servant of Yah, in order to observe carefully. We need our own kind. We need to be with our own kind in order to observe carefully all the commandments of Yah, I, Elohim, his rules and laws. Otherwise, you're going to get, you know, she ain't your kind, he ain't your kind, they ain't feeling what you're doing, they ain't carefully into what you're doing, you may get off track. Namely, we will not give our daughters in marriage to the people of the lands, unlike now, or take their daughters for our sons, unlike now. The people of the land who bring their wares. Now we got some codification for them. Now I don't care what they used to do. That's OV with now. Now the people of the land who bring their wares and all sorts of food stuff for sale on the Sabbath day. Now we in the land, we could authorize this because we could control this. We will not buy from them on the Shabbat or any other holy day for that matter. We will forego the produce of the 7 year and every outstanding debt, which we wasn't doing. And we certainly ain't doing that. And we certainly wasn't doing it then. Foregoing debt to our brothers and sisters. Hey, man, that's a wrap. Debt over with. You ain't paid it off. That's the way it is. Let's start all over again. See, right now, we even charge brothers and sisters. It's just not a cartel. We don't supposed to do
that. Isn't that a beautiful system where your debt is erased?
Yeah.
Every 7 years?
Every 7 years. That's a beautiful thing. That's the way to conduct business because you got everybody interested at heart. Everybody working together. I love me synchronization, gotcha.
And the fact that they had to follow the rules and laws of Moses was very important. Why?
Because
a simple thing like marriage, right? Don't give your daughters to their sons and don't take this daughters for your sons. Wow.
Because it's going to get you off track.
That's what that should be, right?
It's going to get you off track.
Somebody is a Christian and another brother's a Muslim.
It's going to get you off track.
He don't eat pork. He don't eat shrimp, lobster, clam. Whereas the sister that go to church, she eat all that. So
go get you off track.
Cooks dinner, they're going to have problems. Just
go get you off track.
They don't eat the same food.
Go get you off track.
You don't eat the same food.
Gonna get you off track.
Big time.
See, your kind understand that. Your kind, those simple matters are put away with. See, you ain't got to be content with. You can contend with something much more serious than that. Because your wife and your husband know what you should not be eating, what's good for you, what's good to be putting on the dinner table and whatnot. You don't have them kind of problems to be contented with. You don't have to get off track with that. So you can carefully observe the word of Yah. That incidentals, that's very important. So that's one thing that you ain't got to worry about because she been trained what not to eat and what to eat. You been trained what not to eat and what to eat. So at the dinner table, ain't no problem. As Cartrell alluded to, there's a whole different dynamic. It's like a crow in a them birds that eat dead bodies? A crow and one of them.
Vulture.
Hanging out together. It just ain't going to work. Some things they meant to be. That's all. It ain't gonna work. Because a crow is carefully thinking how to be a good crow. And a vulture is carefully thinking how to be a good vulture. It just don't mix, Kytria. Just don't mix.
Crow can't eat with a vulture.
Now you get what I'm coming for.
Vultures can consume bone. Digest it.
Exactly.
I think a crow can digest bone.
Exactly.
But it's just like if a sister married an Orient or Chinese person, she can't cook Chinese food.
Right.
She wouldn't know the first thing about cooking Chinese food.
And one thing, she's going to give up her own identity. And as far as the guy's concerned, he's going to give up some of his identity. He can't be fully devoted to Yah's work and Yah's people because he's going to give up some. She's going to give up something because they're trying to concede to these other nations. So they give up something in their identity that identifies them as Hebrew Israelites. So they had to give up something in these relationships. And that's the way it is. I'm going to be honest with you.
In this particular chapter, it shows about genealogy and not religion.
Exactly.
So you had to be from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and our father Jacob, one of the 12 tribes, not converted in order to be considered legitimate citizen of Jerusalem, which they were rebuilding.
Exactly.
So it wasn't about religion.
No. It's about historical connection.
Yes.
And historical identity and connection are birthed in. You're birthed in. You're not proselytized into it. You can't give up your identity to become it. Now, you can be part of the nation in the sense that you respect the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, but you'll never be a Hebrew Israelite because of the fact you're not born into this. You're not blooded. And that's just the beautiful part I like about it. No matter how many Hebrews Israelites hate Yom Suf Arif, and I hope they don't, but if they do, Most High put me in. And ain't no way you can put me out just because you don't like me. And just like on your behalf, the Most High put you into it, and ain't no way just because Yom Suf don't like you that's going to get you out of here. The only thing going to get you out of this relationship with Yah is because you're not doing what Yah says. And the only thing going to get Yom Suf out of this relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov is because Yom Suf is not doing what Yah says. Nothing else will get me out of this, and nothing else will get you out of it. And that's the beautiful part I like about this. You're blooded in. It's true.
Yeah, and you can see it in the name that you read off in the beginning of this chapter. These are not European names.
Exactly.
In fact, they sound more like African names than anything else. And
exactly.
A lot of the names that you read has the Most High's name in it, Yah.
Exactly.
Say hallelujah, praise Yah. A lot of the names you read, like Shemaiah and Zephaniah and Zechariah, we had names that included the Most High's name along with our name.
Exactly. Just like my name, Yom Suf Arif. But you don't hear the Yah on the end because the Yah is silent. It's all one name joined together, Yom Suf Arif, like Cartrell said. And the A-R-R-I-Y-A-H on the end is silent, but you would know it if you saw it. But if you didn't know it, you just heard it. Well, Yom Suf ain't got no Yah on the end. No, Yom Suf do has Yah on the end. Yom Suf Arif. But the Y-A-H is silent. Okay? All right. Go ahead, Katriel.
Now, it's important to notice history of the Israelite nation because we're studying the Israelite history and not Judaism.
Exactly. I don't study Judaism. I'm not a Jew. So why would I want to study Judaism when I'm not a Jew? I'm a Hebrew Israelite. There's a big difference. Okay?
Anybody could be a Jew.
Oh, I'm not. I'm blooded into something else, brother. I'm not blooded into that. So whatever they got going on ain't got to do with Yom Suf Arif. Long as they do their thing, they stand
Levi,
prime
moving, right?
Right.
That's the
right.
Nehemiah. The Levites, the priests of the nation, were the ones that were the prime movers in this movement.
And the elders. And the elders, too. Right.
And they were elders, yeah. And
right.
The elders.
Right.
So those are the ones that the Most High chooses to move the nation of Israel.
Right, he don't call the young men and the young women. See, that's why we got the game twisted in this country. That's why we're totally confused about everything. That's why our young men are killing each other and killing our elders and so on and so forth. Because the Most High didn't come to the youth. He didn't come to our young maidens. He came to the Levites and the elders. He came to the king. He didn't come to all of them. See, they got the game so twisted that we're totally confused about everything. They want young to these young folk, don't know who they are, what they are, or what they should be doing. And they're totally confused about everything. They ain't been here long enough to know nothing. You've been here 20-some years, 25 years. Oh, I'm leading. What are you leading? What have you been trained to lead? What mistakes have you made? Yom Suf make them every day. So what mistakes have you made to rectify? To either say, hey, my young man, my young brother, my young sister, Yom Suf would take an ex-fool's advice. Yom Suf said, no, don't do that. Based upon the word of Yah, that's not the right course of action. You don't use violence, okay, in this nation. You don't charge each other interest in this nation. Don't do that, okay? But you only come to that because of years, as I said, Cartrell and I, we're in the first of the fourth quarter in our life. And so we've learned by mistakes. We've learned by study and application of that study of the Most High Word. We've learned that the Most High footsteps are our pathway. But these youth, these young men and these young maidens, a whole different ballgame. Go ahead, Cartrell.
You're not learning the history. You're not studying their own culture, their own roots. They're not studying our ancient fathers. They don't know who they are, what they're studying.
Exactly.
Western culture, Western history. Then they get on computers and Google,
right.
Google education.
Right.
They don't have a foundation. So we have to ground them. We have to give
right.
them a foundation, even if they
right.
don't want to hear it. And even if we're not here, it's in the archives. Let me go
right.
back and listen to what these old Negroes were saying. Yeah, we're
right.
trying to bring you the history of our people that nobody else is going to do. Nobody
right.
wants to go through the Old Testament. Oh, that's oh no. We going through it because
right.
it's the foundation of who we are, which is why they
right.
don't want to go through it.
Exactly. But Cartrell, alluding to something you just said, our youth, our young men and young maidens don't know what's up. You know, because our founding fathers had trepidations to go into the land, the Most High kept them out of the land. They died off. But here's what y'all fail to realize. You would think and suspect, oh, only the youth went into the land across beyond the Jordan. Not so true. You had Joshua, an elder. You had Caleb, an elder, that led the nation. Okay? Don't get the game twisted, okay?
And
yes, I
Aaron,
right.
not mentioned.
Right. But I youth knew how to follow order. Our young men and young maidens at that time knew how to follow orders, unlike, unfortunately, we are today. That's the sad part about it. Go ahead, Cartrell.
Yeah, that was the beauty because they were right there watching what happened to their parents. They
exactly.
saw the miracles. They saw the signs of the wonder as children.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw the mistakes of their parents.
Right.
Unfortunately, our youth don't even know the mistakes of our parents. They don't know the history of our people even here. How did we get to this point? How do we go from picking cotton, being brought over here, butt naked on slave ships, to where we are now? How do we get here? And
right.
don't you talk about Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Denmark Vassey? Do you know Frederick Douglass? Do you know
mm-hmm.
Nat Turner? Do you know
yeah.
Harriet Tubman? Do you know Sojourner
right.
Truth? Do you know
mm-hmm.
the Underground Railroad? Do you know of the accomplishments after the Civil War? That our people
right.
made strides and built towns and communities and built themselves up. How many,
exactly.
you know, organizations do we create to get us to where we are now?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you
exactly.
know about them? How much do you know?
They don't want to know that country. That's too much like right, as we said, in the neighborhoods. That's too much like right. And unfortunately, sad to say, Cartrell, some of our people don't want to know what's right. They want to know what's right now, not what's right. And it's different between knowing what's right and what's right now. So
and you know what's funny, Elton?
What's that, brother?
In this modern age of technology and wonder, you can Google back to what our people looked like in 1950s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
What you'll see is culture. We didn't come out the streets with our pants hanging down, tattoos, and piercings everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You see mothers and fathers with their children. The sisters were dressed. The women were dressed in dresses. The
mm-hmm.
men were dressed in suits.
Mm-hmm.
And how far away from that are we? Just Google
mm-hmm.
back to what Harlem looked like in the 1950s and the 1960s.
We didn't have that much. Now we've gotten so far removed from any legitimacy for as a culture of people. The more money we've gotten, the more the lack of legitimacy we've gotten away from, for as you said, being conservative in the way we walk, talk, dress, and so on and so forth. We want to let it all hang out. Why not? That's what they said. Let's let it all hang out. The more money you got, hang it out. Yeah, we did better with less. Better with less. As said. All right, fellow students, Cadre and I, we'll proceed. We have laid upon ourselves obligations to charge ourselves 1/3 of a shekel yearly for the service of the house by Elohim. For the roll, and this is for the rolls of bread, for the regular meal offering, and for the regular burnt offerings, and for those of the Shabbats, new moons, festivals, for consecration, for sin offerings, to atone for Israel, all in the land, and for the work in the house of our Elohim, all within the confines of our country. And here's what I like about us. There was no head nigger in charge. No, it doesn't seem that they were trying to be. How did they get these people in these positions? We have cast lots. Everybody put their name in the hat. We prayed to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And the name was picked forth. And that's how we picked the right man for the job. Among the priests of the Levites.
And also, Phil, I mean to cut you off.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
It also showed that we wasn't doing it. This is like a revival. We had to make an oath to reestablish this thing, these things that we weren't doing. The Sabbath, the new moon, the offering, the festivals. They had to reestablish that because they were not doing it.
In captivity.
In captivity.
Amen. And it says, the priests, the Levites, and the people, to bring the wood offerings, everybody got to chip in to bring the wood offerings to the house by Elohim by, it says clan, but this, all the tribes were here. So when it says by clan, it's talking about historical houses, the historical houses, because there was nothing but two remnants of two tribes, Levites, Benjamin, and the Yehudites. So this more so was talking about historical houses within those confines of those tribes, along with the Levites.
And imagine that. Everybody had to pitch in and do work.
Everybody, man, we all a piece of the puzzle, Cottrell. We all a piece of the puzzle. Yom Suf is a piece of the puzzle. Cottrell is a piece of the puzzle. Aviyah is a piece of the puzzle. And if you're a Hebrew Israelite, and you're on this show with us today, you are a piece of the puzzle, meaning that we are all unified as a nation, should be working together as one. Ain't no head nigga in charge. Everybody else has a problem. Because hold on, country.
I can hear the voices of today back in that time talking about, I ain't doing that.
I ain't in charge, so I ain't going to do it. I ain't gonna get my hand dirty. I just want to be the spokesperson. I don't want
to
get dirty.
Tell me what to do. I ain't doing that.
Yeah. No, we didn't think like that, brother. We were cut from a whole different cloth then. They were humble. They all wanted to work together. They didn't want to shoot each other on the street corners. They all wanted to work together. They all wanted to be pitched in, and they pitched in. Even just to bring simple wood in order for the sacrifices and the service of the temple. Everybody wanted to pitch in.
And we had that when we first came out of slavery in our community.
Exactly.
Up into the 50s and the 60s. In the 70s, something changed.
Man, in the 80s, it definitely changed. Crack cocaine took over. It was a whole different dynamic.
It hasn't been the same thing.
Man, since 1985 and up, I believe, when crack took over. I mean, we already was shaking, standing on shaking ground. But crack cracked the neighborhood. It cracked the foundation of the family and the structures in the neighborhood. It put the young fellas in charge so they could sell dope to the people in the community.
Grandpa.
It didn't make no difference. It just turned everything in reverse. And that was a good job. They like to see a good job well done. Our enemies like to see a good job well done and come to fruition. And it certainly came to fruition. Our views don't know what time it is, don't know which way is up. They're singing about killing each other and killing you. And they sing about selling drugs to you. They're singing about prostituting our daughters. Shake, shake, shake it, baby, don't you break it. And anything else they can talk about. It's true.
And it's a win-win situation for them because they could put us right back in slavery through their prison industrial complex system, because that's what you're going to wind up with, a rap sheet. So now they got you working in the prison industrial complex for free, producing products for them that they make their millions on. So it's a trick bag that our people are in, and the only remedy is the word of Yah.
And we fall for the okey-doke. And as you said, Contrail, the last statement you just said, therein lies the answer to our solution, the word of Yah. That relationship, as we said at the beginning of these studies, it's the most important relationship that you will ever have in your life. If you don't understand it, you're totally confused about everything. It's true.
Well, you say it all the time. We're broken people.
Yeah, we're broken people. Walking dead. And I don't say that with any venom. I just say it because it's true. And it's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. But Michael Jackson alluded to it in a song once. And that's how we have to do. I'm starting with the man or woman in the mirror. I'm asking them to change their ways. I have to do that, brothers and sisters. I have to do it every day. And people in my life are my mirrors. Contrail is my mirror. Abia is my mirror. People in Memphis, Tennessee that love the Most High, they are my mirrors.
The great Muhammad Ali said something I'll never forget.
What's that, my brother?
He said, every brother and sister that you see is scarred.
Exactly.
I had to think about that.
But it's true.
It is.
But it's true.
So you look at your family. Nah, my family's good. No, he said every brother and sister that you see. I had to think about my mother. I had to think about my father, my sister, my brother, my friends, my neighborhood, people in my neighborhood, my people. He said every brother and sister that you see is scarred.
Well, you know, on Sesame Street, there was a place called Compunction Junction. I call it compunction dysfunction, okay? Dysfunction junction. We're all dysfunction junction. And as I said last week, and I would say it every day to the day I'm out of here, we are all scarred. We are all dirty. And some of us want to stand on one another beating our chairs like Tarzan. But we're all scarred. We're all dirty. And not one
those
of us.
Those are the ones with the biggest boss that do that.
Right. Set on and beat their chest. They gave me a few more dollars. They gave me a music career. They gave me education. Well, they all know what the hell I'm talking about, and I'm teaching y'all that. They gave me a house in the Hamptons. They gave me a nice job. They gave you everything, didn't they? Did the Most High give you anything? And what did you give the people? Some of us never cease to amaze me, Contrail. Fellow students, I'd rather give what the Most High give. If the Most High want me to be a janitor in the temple, I'd be satisfied with being a janitor in the temple. Okay? I don't need nothing from my enemy. Because anything my enemy give me going to be flawed, just like I'm flawed. So anything my enemies give me going to be flawed. If you give me an education, that's going to be flawed. If you give me help, that's going to be flawed. If you give me a house, that's going to be flawed. If you give me some money, that's going to be flawed. If you give me a sex change, that's going to be flawed. You won't be the part of the alphabet group. That's going to be flawed. Anything my enemy give me going to be flawed. And you better believe it. Go ahead, Contrail.
They might give you a vote. Might want to vote for Donald Trump again.
That's going to be flawed. They trying to take that away.
Well, we see Nehemiah and the elders and the Levites and the priests. They were regulating whatever they got from foreigners.
Exactly. And they really didn't want it. They really didn't want it, truth be told. Not like some of us relics to get the handouts. And so, so they provided what, and we undertake to bring to the house of Yah annually. The first, they weren't doing this, as Contrail alluded to, because they were in captivity. They were not on the land. The first fruits of our soil, of every kind of fruit of every tree. Also, the firstborn of our sons, which, you know, technically, you get them back. But those beasts you didn't get back unless you bought it back. It is written in the teachings. and to bring the firstling of our cattle, our flocks, to the house of Yah, for the priests who minister in the house of our Elohim. We will bring to the storerooms of the house of our Elohim the first part of our dough and our gifts of grain and the fruit of every tree, wine, oil for the priest, and the tithes of our land for the Levites who collect the tithes in all our towns. It didn't say your pastor, your preacher, I don't know what y'all are doing, but these was for the Levites. So if you're giving your so-called money to your pastor, your preacher, I ain't read none of this here, all right? To the Levites. And if you're not in our land in order to be able to do this, well, something that's not right. For the Levites who, not your pastor and priest, who collect the tithes in all our towns and our towns, not in our enemy's towns, subject to royal service. An Aaronite priest, a priest of the lineage of Aaron, must be with the Levites when they collect the tithes. Is an Aaronite priest with your preacher and your pastor? Okay, thank you very much. I didn't think so. When they collect the tithes. The Levites will bring up a tithe as a tithe to the house of Yah, to the storerooms of the treasury. For it is the storerooms that the Israelites and Levites must bring the gifts of grain. Not your church, not your local storefront church, wine and oil. The equipment of the sanctuary and the ministry of the priest and the gatekeepers and the singers is also there. We will not neglect the house of our Elohim. Obviously, it suggests, infers, and implies they did, but they said, we're not going to do that no more. We're going to do the right thing. Fellow students, Cartrell, I am done with my study. Cartrell probably going to have some commentary. And after that, he's going to get right into his section of the story. May the Most High bless you.
Yeah, so it shows why these studies are so important, because they realized while in captivity that they were not doing the law of Moses. When they were granted by the king of Persia the opportunity to go back and do what was right before the Most High, they made sure they did what was right before the Most High. This is what they should have been doing all along. They had to reaffirm that this is what we were obligated to do in the first place. So they're going back to the antidote that Yah gave them, and Yah allowed them. He blessed them with what? He said, we will bring first called our first courses of meal, our contribution, the first fruit of every tree, new wine, olive oil, the priests at the storerooms of the temple of our Elohim. And like you say, we in storefronts, we in abandoned churches, and this is not Yah's house that we're supposed to bring this stuff to. That place was in Jerusalem that they revived, and you see how it worked. You had storehouses for to take care of the Levites and the priests and the poor and the needy and the fatherless and the widow. So anytime you came to the temple, you were hungry. They had something for you from the goodness of the donations and the contributions and the sacrifices and the oaths of the people. And it's a beautiful system. So you had to have gatekeepers to keep people out from breaking into the storehouses and stealing stuff. So it was a well-organized, it was almost like how Vatican City is right now. Matter of fact, Vatican City is modeled after this. So are people not in power to even bring up? What were they bringing up? Okay. Tithes, grain, wine, oil. I'm sure they have flocks and herd, firstborn. How many flocks do we own? How many herds do we own? How much cattle do we have? I don't think we have much because the black farmers in America are in trouble. But anyway, that's basically my commentary. You can see the abundance of goodness that the Most High blessed them with when they came back to the land, because they had all of this. They had flocks, cattle, herd, grain, wine, oil, and they knew how to process all this stuff.
Yeah, everybody knew how to process their own land. They knew how to process their crops. They knew how to process their flocks. They knew how to process everything. They didn't go to the supermarket like we do. Go ahead, Cartier.
But they had storerooms. So we call them stores today, but they call them storerooms.
Right. Every family had their own storerooms. They knew how to process their grain. They knew how to take care of their grain. They knew how to take care of their milk. They knew how to take care of their cheese. They knew how to take care of everything. We know how to go to the grocery store. Go ahead, Kadri.
And they know how to preserve things because they were able to preserve the manna in jars from when they traveled in the wilderness. Most times they put it in a jar and preserve it. So they knew the art of preservation.
Exactly.
So any storehouses, they had jars. So
right.
Like, go to the store. You buy a jar of tomatoes. You buy a jar and this and jar of that. That's what they were doing back in these days.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they had smoke houses, drying houses for the meat and so on and so forth. So they knew how to take care of themselves. They weren't waiting on the government to take care of them. Okay?
So we got to get back to this level where we're taking care of ourselves.
Exactly.
We can.
Although there were some times you had to get a dole. And sometimes you would go to the house of Yah, and the priest would take care of you and so on and so forth when you're having hard times. But you weren't looking for the dole from the house of Yah. You tried to do it on your own, and you had family. Family was family then. The family meant something then. To be a part of a hereditary house was something important, and they valued that, the structure. When you had family going down, you went to family. And so on and so forth. And then when you were part of a tribe, the tribe looked after you. Part of the 12 tribes, the tribe tried to take care of its people in the tribe. So they didn't try to look out for a doll from the temple. They tried to give to the temple, not look out for a doll from the temple. Okay? Go ahead, Contrail.
I'm done.
Okay. Thank you very much, brother. That's very insightful. And we're looking for a study in the Psalms. I'm off. I don't know where I'm at in the Psalms, Cartrell. Aviyah, may the Most High bless you, sister. Can you give us an update where we're at in the Psalms? Everybody stand by. Y'all don't hear this, but I'm going to get a test, man. I'm going to let y'all know where we're at.
I believe it's 95.
You are correct. I told you and Aviyah are synchronized through the Most High. 95, you're right. Thank you, Aviyah. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you, Aviyah. We love you. Most High bless and be with you. Yes. So the 95th Psalm, I don't know who the author is, but more likely it's one of the composers of praise music to the Most High in his temple, one of the Levites, or even the prophet Moshe. I don't know.
Okay.
But
it doesn't say in my reading also who's the writer of it.
Right. But it's always good to give thanks and praise and to put it in song format so that people could like praise Yah in a unison, in unity, in a unified manner. But individually, songs can help you as well. So we give thanks and praise to the composer of this particular song in a form of a psalm that we can read today because it helps us in our spiritual strength, how we get spiritual strength. This is spiritual food for our being. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, come, let us sing for joy to Yah. That's a unity. That's not me doing it by myself. So if you even can't sing, y'all too. Even if I can't sing, we sing together.
You were over there, man. You were over there, brother. I know
we singing together.
I know I can't sing, bro. I know. I can have Wick Carey in my bucket, but you should have Wick Carey. I try. Thank you, brother.
It's okay if you sing a praise to Yah. He don't mind. He'll fix them both the chords.
Hallelujah.
Blend them in with everybody else.
Amen, brother.
That's why we got to do it together, right? Because you won't hear me, I won't hear you. We just putting up that harmony.
You were over there, man. Go study with the people. Leave me alone.
All right. So the song part we got right. All right, we got that down.
He's certainly right about that part.
So when you shout on his radio, when you shout on his radio program, you're supposed to be shouting. It says, let us shout joyfully, joyfully though, to the rock of our salvation. Who's that? I wonder.
The Most
High. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. You always got to be thankful for this gift of life, even the challenges that he puts in front of you. Be thankful, because I'm sure you want to give it up. You want to live as long as you possibly can. Am I right?
Exactly.
And the way to do that is to give thanks every day for every breath you breathe.
Amen.
Every day. Thank you. I'm here. I'm still here.
I'm still standing.
And what? You got to be joyful about it. You can't be depressed. You can't be downhearted. No. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs and psalms. That's what we do. For Yah is a great Elohim and a great king above all gods, in whose hands are the depths of the earth. We used to sing that song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide
world
in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
I care on background now. I care some background.
Yeah. He got you and me, brother, in his hands.
So amen.
The one who created it got it in his hands. We trying to figure it out, how he got it suspended in space, spinning in two directions with fire on the inside, water on the outside, and we don't even feel a pump.
And we don't even know what's going on.
The earth travels at some, like, 1,700 miles an hour.
Mm-mm-mm.
And you don't even feel the bump.
Mm-mm.
The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it is he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Yeah, so everything in the sea he made.
Amen.
All the beauty. They're discovering all kind of life in the sea that they haven't discovered, even up until this day.
Exactly.
Amazing. And mountain peaks, see them fools trying to get to the peaks of the mountain. Mount Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, but a lot of
them accomplishes something. A lot of them don't make it.
Yeah.
But imagine, the Most High made it. A man can't even climb up there, much less make a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, they can't make it.
They say the earth is 75% water. You know, water is powerful, right? Why don't the seas overwhelm the land? So
the Most High set boundaries. The Most High said don't go beyond it. Don't you move beyond it.
The waters obey him? Yes, they do.
It certainly does. Water got good sense.
Yep. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yah, our maker. What are you supposed to be doing that? Doing it at the temple when Nehemiah and Ezra were setting it up with the Levites and the priests, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
For he is our Elohim. I don't care who your Elohim is. I don't care who your God is. My God is the creator. He's the king. He's the maker. His hand controls everything. And we are people, Israel, of his pasture, the sheep of his land. We talking about we lion of Judah. No, we sheep. Y'all call us?
Sheep.
Sheeple. But we Yah's people.
You just call us sheeple. Sheeple. I like
Yah's
that.
People.
Be quiet, sheeple. You be quiet, sheeple. Put that bow and arrow at. Put that slingshot down. Most I ain't told you to do that, sheeple. I like that. Sheeple. I like that.
Yeah, we're supposed to be looking for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who we are, the lost sheep. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as at Meribah, as in the days of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and tried me, though they had seen my work. Ain't that crazy? You seen Yah's work, but you're going to still test his power?
We still doing it.
Yeah, crazy as hell. 40 years. I loathe that generation. Why? Because you testing me while I'm trying to save y'all. Mm-hmm. You're provoking me while I'm trying to save y'all. You're complaining and moaning and groaning every step of the way.
Well, I complain about you. They complain about the food. They complain about the bread. They complain about the birds. They complain about the water. They complain about Mosaic. It didn't look like a complaint they had. We would complain with a stop sign.
Have we changed?
Not very much.
People love to complain.
Mm-hmm. Chronic complainers.
Me? I follow my grandmother's advice.
What's that, my brother?
I used to say, Nana, how you doing? You know what she used to tell me?
What did she say?
Oh, no use complaining. I used to scratch my head. Like, most people complain. My grandmother's like, no use complaining. I'm taking that as a life lesson. There is no use complaining. Do something about it.
Exactly.
Do something. Don't complain. Do something.
Exactly.
So the Most High said he loathed us for 40 years. And them people died walking around 40 years. They didn't get their blessing.
Exactly.
And he said, there are people who earn their heart. Where does it all start, Yamsu?
In your heart.
If your heart ain't right, you ain't making it. It wasn't because they wasn't intelligent.
Your action's not going to be right.
It wasn't because they wasn't strong.
Your action's not going to be right.
If your heart is not right, you got to correct that heart. Your heart might be in error as of right now.
Right.
Because if you're hating these words, your heart ain't right. It ain't my words. It ain't Yamsu's words. These are the Most High's words.
Exactly.
He's telling us our hearts, the hearts of our people who marched around, complained and moaned and groaned and could have did better. It started in their hearts. He said they did not know my ways. That's why we're trying to find out the ways, how to walk in the path of Yah. We got to find out quick, fast, and hurry. And if you don't know, you better find out.
Exactly.
You better find out. Because you don't want to bump heads with the Most High. All right? Mm-hmm. You worry about the enemy. Hey, I'd rather bump heads with the enemy than the Most High.
You better believe it.
Therefore, I swore in my anger, truly, they shall not enter into my rest. So they didn't get the blessing. They didn't enter into the promised land like their children did, who they were so worried about. Well, what about our children? No, y'all, someone take care of your children. They're going to make it. You're not. And what we worry about today? Our children. No. You teach your children the right way, like these children learn, and they're going to be all right. Our people are resilient. We've been through a lot. We've endured a lot.
Exactly.
Teach your children the way of Yah, and they'll make it. That's the most important thing.
Exactly. All right, Kashriel. That is very interesting, very informative, and very enlightening, and very Thanksgiving-orientated. And how we should be and what we should be doing. And I pray that the Most High Director and all you accept that you take full advantage of these studies that Kachriel presents to you in the songs, the Psalms, which are wanted and saying, and that you apply these to your lives. Therein lies your solutions. Kachriel, do you have any closing remarks before we get out of here?
I just want to give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel for you, my brother Yamsu, for my sister Aviyah. For the family that's out there, pray that the Most High works on our hearts, that he circumcises our hearts to serve him in truth, that we won't be in error when he puts judgment down on earth, because there's a lot of wicked things that's going on, and we have to stand firmly in the way, of Yah, not to be swept up or caught up in the darkness that's gripping the people.
Exactly.
My prayer is that we be strong and see the light. And,
exactly.
Achieve that oneness with the Most High through our hearts and our study.
Right. And if you have any contention with anything in regards to what Kachriel and I says, what Yah says, take it over, Yah. We're not here to argue, fuss, and fight with you. We're not going to do that. So if you have any contention with Yah says in his writings, we strongly advise you to take it up with him. That's not our job. Our job is to be representatives, spokesperson, what Yah says, and thus said Yah, and that's the only thing our job. We are not here to defend Yah. Yah can defend himself. Okay? Kachriel, you know we love him. May the Most High bless him. May he continue to direct and order their steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. It is not cute. It's not working for you. As a matter of fact, Kachriel give you some advice at the end of these studies, which we hope will help in your studies. As Kachriel alluded to in that last song, a heart. You got to have the right heart. And you got to have a right spirit. You got to be like sheeple, as Kachriel said, sheeple. And that spirit will be contrite, humble, and with that steadfast in the Most High, like sheeple. And also, you would have a heart that is indicative of loving the Most High with all that heart, mind, soul, and strength, that you heed his counsel. And that you will learn to love yourself Because the only way you can love your brothers and your sisters as yourself, that you must love yourself. Anything else would be virtually impossible. And to continually thirst after righteousness, not after righteousness of Yom Suf Arif, or Katriel, but the righteousness of Yah. As I said, Katriel, we are not here to defend Yah. Yah can defend himself. We are simply here as Yah's spokesperson, saying what thus said Yah. We love you. May the Most High bless you. And direct and order your steps. Shalom and good night. Thank you, Katriel.
Thank you, Yasu. Most I bless you. Keep going.